This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosman, your business savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studio. Yes, indeed. Each and every Saturday, we give you 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. Of course, today we get a little bit of a difference in that what we were trying to do is kind of weigh in on Giving Tuesday. Of course, this last Tuesday, you got Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then Giving Tuesday, kind of the charitable way to, you know, hey, give a little back rather than just give to the spoiled, rotten brats that you call your children. It is the Christmas season, and of course, through that hustle and bustle, if you follow my Facebook page, you know that I was back in Dallas over the Thanksgiving holiday, and kind of liked the travel over the holidays. So we talk a little bit about that and some of the economy in Dallas and how in the world can you buy a house for half as much and get twice as much in Texas. In studio, what we've kind of done is connected with one of the charities that I support and promote, which is Between Horses and Humans. In studio, I've got Barbara Slade and Cindy Cowan. So welcome you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So, as I mentioned kind of on the introduction, Giving Tuesday is kind of the idea there is, hey, you know, give something to charity and kind of help those that are less fortunate. And so what I thought I'd do for this show is kind of bring on a not-for-profit and while I will then weigh in on kind of the charitable aspects of that, kind of do some planning at the same time. So Barbara, let's start with you. What is Horses and Humans? Between Horses and Humans, BHH.
Between Horses and Humans is a nonprofit that's partnering children with difficult life situations with horses.
Okay, and how did this nonprofit get started?
Well, you know, it's kind of devastating when you see young children committing suicide and other children being so depressed that they can't even get out of bed and play or go to mm-hmm. school. Just so many children that have personal challenges, no fault of their own. So we thought that, you know, with the magic of horses, that we can help show them life is worth going on for.
Okay.
Hope, joy, happiness, a brilliant future.
And how long has BHH been around?
Well, the foundation itself had been around since 2004, but I took it over in 2008, changed its focus to what it is today.
Okay. And how did you get involved?
Well, I've been horsing around my whole life. And I love it. And I was thinking about retiring from my competition life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted some way of giving back and sharing what horses have done for me.
Okay. And so, there's actually, we live right down the street from Marvin Piccolo School. And kind of there's a similar organization here in Reno. You guys are in Minden, right?
We're in Gardnerville.
Gardnerville, right?
Correct.
And,
but we service a large area. We have a lot of students from, or children from Tahoe, Gardnerville, Minden, TRE, which is Topaz, Carson City, Dayton, and a few from Reno.
Okay. And how many kids have gone through the program? How many people are in there now?
Hundreds. We've probably worked with close to over 500, mm-hmm. a little bit over 500 children. We work with between 40 and 50 a week.
Okay. So, and where do you get the horses to do all this?
Our lovely master companions are retired show horses that have been donated to us.
Okay, cool. There you go. You want a big write-off? Donate a show horse.
It's really amazing how these show horses have embraced their life with children.
Okay,
it's a big difference for them because competitive show horses are very businesslike,
mm-hmm.
and they have that intense focus. But with the children, they just know what to do. When they're working with them, it's very magical to witness.
Okay. And, so one of the things I wanted to be able to kind of do is we were kind of celebrating last Giving Tuesday is, talk about, some ways that, you can support a charity. Because oftentimes, when you get, let's call it behind the curtain, referring to Wizard of Oz, charity's not all it's cracked up to be. There's a lot of problems and challenges. besides just offering, you know, whatever you're doing to the public. So for by way of example, you know, you guys in your facility there in Gardnerville, you've had some struggles with some neighbors over the years. So, how has that impacted your organization?
Well, you know, we try to honor and respect everybody that comes into our lives or that we are interacting with or having relationships with. The neighbors just didn't really like the traffic. Mm-hmm. So we started carpooling. We made sure that cars came and didn't leave until the lesson was done. So they stayed an hour and a half at the barn with the child. So we just tried to do the best that we can to make it work for all of us.
Right. Yeah. So I remember years ago, the church I was attending had 500 acres out in Washoe Valley. And, you know, we kind of had the idea to do a summer camp for kids. And, the neighbors squawked and were like, well, you know, we got all these kids out here running around. It's like, we got 500 acres. You know, you got 20 kids. It's not a thing. But, it's kind of the same thing with the debate right now on affordable housing. You know, we need affordable housing that typically looks like high-density apartments. When you look at the cost per unit, and it just is the most efficient way to get people into some kind of good living situation affordably. And everybody says, yeah, I agree, but I just don't want it in my neighborhood. Right.
You know, I think we need to, I know this word fear has been pushed around a lot lately, but, you know, if we can just look at each other and have a conversation, if we can just listen to each other and understand the concerns from both sides, then I'm sure we can mitigate a reasonable solution. Our children are never running around. They're never screaming because the horses feel unsafe around that type of energy.
Right.
So the child learns about patience and being quiet and being interactive with the horse at the horse's level. Mm-hmm. And we try to have the children understand that about the neighbors, too. We're always laughing about sending little love puffs to everybody. So we just, you know, send them a little kiss of love and wish everybody some peace and happiness in their lives.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's some folks out there that don't necessarily reciprocate. I go to Life Church, and you know they built a campus across the street from Damani Ranch, and by and large neighbors have been very gracious and but it's always the one bad egg, right? And it was fascinating, you know. And so there, you know, this bad egg in this my church situation was just in a twist because the lights were on late, and I'm like, you know, have you ever been to a football game at any high school, right? You know, talk about lights, right? It's Friday night lights. But it's like, you know, here because the lights in the building are on, it's a bother. I'm like, wow, this is fascinating. But, you know, if you get in your mind that you want to be irritated, you'll find things to be irritated about. Similarly, when, that prior example, when my previous church had, you know, 500 acres of Washoe Valley, basically the neighbors started squawking, and then the commission, whoever regulates all that stuff, was like, well, you know, we're not going to renew your variance, and we're like, oh man, you know. So basically, shut the thing down through regulation. So, speaking of regulations, so you're working with both animals and humans. What regulation do you, I guess, how are you regulated, you know?
We have a special use permit in Douglas County.
Okay.
It's use of community significance, which was a really big deal for us to get in 2016. It took many, many, many months of meeting all the requirements.
Right.
Big three ring binder of requirements and maps and titles and so on and so forth. But again, we so love this program that we made the effort to meet the requirements of Douglas County.
Right. And what did that do for you once you got that recognition?
Well, there's only one other nonprofit in the area that has that use of community significance. So it really showed people that we were here to stay, that we're very serious about all aspects of running a nonprofit, not only our time with the children and the quality of care for our horses, but also fitting into the community.
Right.
We're helping the local schools and different therapists work with children so that we have a resource, that they have a resource, a task resource, so that children have some place to go. So we're very serious about keeping our doors open.
Right. And so that's where, you know, I'm thinking, Barbara, you know, I see you've got a, between horses and humans, you know, okay, well, you let kids ride horses, What's the magic? What's the significance in it? What does this do for these kids? How does this change these kids' lives?
Well, we're our hands-on program. So the children come to the barn. They have to learn barn chores and how to do that. They interact with the horses. They groom them. They all learn body work, massaging, acupressure.
Do they have to do the muck bucket?
They do it all. They have to learn all aspects of being around horses. It's not showing up and let's get on a ride. Learning compassion by giving to the horses, doing the body work, acupressure, red light therapy, on and on. And then they do a lot of ground training exercises. So they're actually engaging the horses mentally and physically. And then they get the bonus of riding.
Right. Okay.
So it's a real hands-on, which creates independent thinkers and doers.
Right.
We're not babysitters. We're not doing things for the children. They have to learn how to put the halters on, the bridles on, and so on.
And it's not solely a riding program. It's mostly the groundwork and the body work and the thinking that goes behind it.
Yeah, because these are big animals, right? And you get a kid that gets squirrely, right? They're going to get stomped like a grape.
Well, that's why it works too, because the horses are giving the children constant feedback instead of adults telling the child, stop it, don't move, sit down.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You know, the horses will spook and run away and get startled, and the child recognizes that it was his behavior or her behavior and the energy they're projecting out, and they start making changes that they can then own, life skills that they recognize that are valuable for school.
Right.
The children will come back and say, I did all kinds of little circle work on my little 3-year-old sister, and she quieted down, got real happy, and took a nap. So they're really seeing the value of what they're learning at the barn taking place in their lives.
Okay. Now, Barbara, as we're talking about kind of the charitable nature of this holiday season, it takes a lot of hands-on work from volunteers to be able to provide this program. So in studio, Cindy Cowan. And Cindy, how'd you get involved with this thing?
Well, I had a horse. I'd bought a horse that was more of a challenge to me than I'd ever had before. And so someone recommended Barbara.
Because she is a challenge?
Exactly.
Barbara's a challenge. No. And so she and I started working together, and that's when she was launching BHH.
Okay.
And so I moved my horse to the facility where BHH was and started working with her, and my horse kept saying, pick me, I want to be with the kids.
Mm.
And she was always perfect for the kids.
And you're what the heck? You're snot for me, but you're good for the little ones.
Well, she became all of that.
Right.
But it was kind of like her journey with the children.
Cool.
She could empathize with them. She'd been mistreated, and she could empathize with them. And she showed them there was another way to go forward than being abused and just staying in her little hole. And so she's currently one of our horses that we work with now, too.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So, and Barbara, how many volunteers do you have in the program?
Well, we have 20 that work with us on a regular basis and that work with the children and the horses and the barn chores. And we have a base of about another 35 on top of that for special events.
Gotcha. So let's do this when we come back. We're talking about the charitable part of this holiday season, as well as, how do you market, how do you recruit not only people to provide services to, but also volunteers when we come back. It's Bosma on Business, Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. You might be thinking, hey, what do I need to do now in anticipation of tax reform? One of the things that you just need to be smart about is know that tax under either proposal, House or Republican proposal, if anything or any hybrid of this thing happens, tax rates are going down next year. And so kind of the way to game the system is you want to reduce your taxes this year. So, now obviously, if you give money away you wouldn't otherwise give away, no bueno. But if you're charitably inclined, you're like, hey, I want to I'm going to give it away anyway. Well, it's better to accelerate that, do that before year end, because you'll get a better tax break for that this year than you will next year. A lot of people, if either proposal is passed, the House or Senate proposal, a significant reduction in the amount of households are going to be itemizing deductions. One of the things that we wanted to kind of weigh in on this show is, to be smart about how you give. So let's just say for fun, I got in studio Barbara Slade and Cindy Cowan from Between Horses and Humans, and they do a couple fundraisers during the year. And let's say you've got some Bitcoin, just for fun, because, if you You got one coin's worth, closing in on $10,000. But you bought the coin when it was a buck, and now it's worth $10,000. As soon as you redeem the coin, that's taxable income to you. So, one thing that you could do is say, well, hey, I'd rather give you, between horses and humans, that Bitcoin. And the beauty of that is you get a $10,000 deduction for that on your taxes. Obviously you got itemized deductions and blah, 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 blah. But you don't have to pay the gain on the $10,000. So you kind of get the win-win. The charity then can take that Bitcoin or that appreciated asset and sell it. And there's they get the cash. So they can efficiently convert property to cash so that they can pay the bills. And then, like I said, there's some benefits to you to give appreciated property. Now, there are some limitations on this, things you got to be smart about. One of those, if you give appreciated property, you can only deduct up to 30% of your adjusted gross income. And if you contribute over $5,000, you need an appraisal. Now, interesting question, do you need an appraisal if you give stock? There's a whole, things with a readily determinable fair market value, easy ways to get that stuff. So, but anyway, talk to your accountant, talk to your CPA, make sure you get that dialed in. The other thing that I think is just smart to do, if you're over 70 and a half, you have to do these things called required minimum distributions. And so out of your retirement accounts, you got to pull a certain percentage of those things every year. And maybe, you've got enough other retirement funds that you really don't need the cash, but the government's going to say, now we're going to force it out. Well, one of the things that you could do, you can do a direct IRA to charity up to $100,000. And you don't have to, even if you don't itemize deductions, basically you don't have to take the money out for the required minimum distribution. So you're not taxed on the income. And of course, you don't get the charitable contribution. But it helps make that a very efficient way to give without having to recognize the income. Because the way that itemized deductions are phased out, personal exemptions are phased out, you lose a percentage of the benefit when you kind of take it out of your retirement account and then give it away. So you can give it direct if you're over 70 and a half. Yeah, there's all these ways to make your giving go further. And of course, one of the huge ways, there's a lot of people in need right now, as the weather gets chillier. Thin the herd. You're going to fill up the closets again this Christmas. So go ahead and get those gifts out, but don't wait till New Year's to do it. Get it out so that those used clothes and articles, whatever you're giving away, can be put to use kind of during this holiday season rather than after. The day before New Year's, probably the biggest giving day of the year. Try to get that tax deduction, but do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we get a lot of clothing this time of year. Mm-hmm. My sister just gave us some really heavy-duty, beautiful coats, jackets, gloves, hats. Volunteers are always bringing things for the children, so it's
well. Yeah, I would imagine for the riding stuff. Riding boots are very expensive.
Right. We get helmets, halters, riding. Right. Yes, all that equipment really helps.
The children often come without any. Well, proper clothing on.
Yeah, oftentimes so. Very, very economically disadvantaged. So, yeah, they don't, chances are if they can afford a nice pair of riding boots, they probably wouldn't need the program.
Right. Well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'd be surprised.
So in studio, Cindy Cowan and Barbara Slade from Between Horses and Humans. And, one of the things that we talk about the charitable aspect of this, I would imagine, kind of your mission field, as it were, is part of that is the kids. Part of it, you're kind of helping the horses. But it's got to be the parents. There's got to be helping them too. How do you reach out to the parents? How do you help them kind of help their kid who's in a hard spot?
Well, what we've done, we try to have communication with our parents on a regular basis. We also pass out surveys so we can hear directly back mm-hmm. from them how it's working for their child, what else we can do to improve our program. We have done workshops in the past. And it's going to be a big part of our program moving forward to be able to include the family.
Sure.
I think that's really important to improve the communication, respect for each other, trying to have better understanding where each person is coming from. One of the successes to our program is that we listen to the children.
And which is probably unique for them.
It's very unique for them. They just stand there at first and look at us like, really? And then they just don't stop talking.
Right. We also don't micromanage them.
Right.
And they have to carry their own responsibility, which is unusual in some families because sometimes you have the helicopter parents.
Right,
that
doing
are
everything for them. Right.
Right. And they're not allowed to do that while they're with us.
Okay. No, that's good. I teach responsibility, respect. And then I also got to work with parents because obviously if this is a one-sided equation, right, you can have the kids have all great coping skills, but if they're walking into a train wreck, it's just going to unwind all that training, right?
Yeah. My cousin, who's been a therapist for 44 years, something like that, in Chicago. And yeah, he cheered me up about 8 years ago. Yeah, well, good luck doing what you're doing. But, you know, those kids go home every night.
Right, right.
But, you know, we still try to give them skills. Mm-hmm. We talk exactly about what's happening in their household and how they can manage that. And we do try to interact with the parents so that we can try to make a difference.
Yeah, because isn't kind of life, you know, like really 90% how you look at the world, how you manage it, not necessarily what happens?
Yeah, they always say that 90% is your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can't change other people. We can't make the neighbors happy. You know, you're going to run into a lot of irritated people in your life. So how are you going to relate to that?
Right.
Are you going to become that which you don't like? Or are you just going to recognize who you are and just shine that light?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was, you know, this last weekend, spent some time with some relatives that I've never hung out with before. And of course, you know, the best part of all that is I love watching the family dysfunction, as my youngest son once said in a pretty funny moment. He's like, can't we put the fun back in dysfunction? And I think about it, and I was like going, hey, I can decide, how I'm going to react or act in this mm-hmm. situation.
Perfect. Yes.
And in fact, it's this marriage book. I do a marriage class through my church and meet at our home and doing this thing called grace-filled marriage. And it was fascinating to talk about, this last week about the lenses that we look at the world through. Stephen Covey would call it paradigm, but it's kind of like, hey, how do you see the world? And depending on your angle, if you're looking in a window, and which window you're looking in the same room, but if you're looking at it from the north, the south, the east, or the west, if you're, short or tall, it's all going to give you a different perspective on what you see. And so let's do this when we come back. Let's kind of talk about a little bit more about kind of how to, kind of help these kids, but also I think help each other cope really through this holiday season. And then some ways to market and give. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780. KWH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business, your host, Mike Bosma. If you need one of those free one-hour consults to riddle how you need to manage your affairs prior to the end of the year in order to maximize the benefit for tax reform, really what we're doing now is, when this thing hit, I have been slammed. So you really want to, get on the calendar sooner rather than later. My guess is that tax reform will pass either the last week of the year or sometime in January. And like I said, there's a lot of momentum. Who knows if it passes or not, but by and large, you can't quickly react if you don't have that, if you don't have the benefit of some time. So we're helping folks kind of determine a strategy if it passes and which parts of it pass and what they need to do. And there are absolutely actionable items that you need to be aware of. And how it impacts you. I mean, significant changes to itemized deduction, significant changes to how much mortgage interest, just by way of example, if, the current iteration of the bill is being debated is, it says if you go into contract now to buy a house that's over $500,000, the debt over $500,000 is non-deductible. And that threshold used to be 1.1 million. Well, I'm saying, people that are in the market to buy a house are like, hey, that part that, is the retroactive part of it could absolutely get negotiated away. So, if that happens, basically everybody said, both sides, hey, the mortgage interest for mortgages over $500,000 is going away. They may make it retroactive, they may not. But if all of a sudden, it comes down to where you can close, and if you close by the end of the year, that's a qualified mortgage. Same is true with alimony. You know, the alimony deduction is going away, but you know, I mean, like I said, there's and so think of it this way. So you're, you know, you business owners out there, and you know who you are. And like I said, I never wish divorce on anybody. Mine was terribly painful, but it's just something unfortunately that happens even through the most well-intentioned people. But under this proposed legislation, you know, you get divorced in 2018, you're a business owner, you don't get the deduction for the alimony. Now your spouse doesn't have to report the income, but usually their income is a lot less, their brackets are a lot less. And holy smokes, you know, it's just that, I mean, talking about a game changer, you're talking about literally, you know, a 30-40% swing in the economics of unwinding a marriage. And where if you can get that done this year, there's a significant benefit for you if under the current proposal. So like I said, don't wish anybody to, you know, don't run out there and I'm going to try and get this divorce done because Bosman. No. I'm a big fan of marriage. But if unfortunately you find yourself in that season where that's an inevitability, you got to be smart about it. You know, it matters. I'm passionate about businesses and business owners. And like I said, in this case, it's going to significantly change the economics of that split. And the courts haven't caught up to it yet. You know, they've been doing alimony based on certain percentages and ratios, you know, and so business owners end up losing on it. It's just how that goes. So you just got to be sensitive to it. And of course, the other thing, the reason that we've got Between Horses and Humans in studio is really kind of talking about the economics of charity, charitable giving, ways that you can support charity, support in this case, you know, hundreds of kids have gone through this program. So Barbara Slade, executive director, chief cook, and chief mucker in the program, if somebody wanted to learn more about Between Horses and Humans and give, how would they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, betweenhorsesandhumans.org. They can call and speak to me directly, 775-309-3879.
Okay, repeat that phone number one more time because people are just grabbing their pen.
775-309-3879. And you can come by for a visit. We love to invite people to Maddie's Frisian Ranch. The gracious owners of Maddie's Frisian Ranch, Ruth Page and Greg Walsh, have supported us for over 4 years. It's a magnificent ranch. You can come and see their beautiful Frisians and then talk to us about our program.
Yeah, and kind of see the you know, kids work with the horses and
correct,
see that interaction and see how you can support the organization. Great organization. So one of the things that also that we, you know, we talk about in fundraising, now you don't charge these kids a fee to go through this. So how do you keep the lights on in the corral?
Right. We refuse at this point in time to charge anyone to participate in our program. We would be eliminating so many children that wouldn't have the opportunity to horse around with us. Parents who can afford it, they do donate to our program. Mm-hmm. Other parents give their time, they volunteer at the barn, so that's kind of a win-win. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so you could always write a check or use a credit card at P.O. Box 6459, Gardnerville, Nevada, 89460. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always looking for all kinds of different donations. I mean, or the Bitcoin. We've stayed open all these years because people are so generous, yeah, such big hearts. You know, we do 2 fundraisers a year, and then we do little fundraisers throughout the year.
So talk about your fundraisers. So, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, gosh, you know, I'm paying $100 for, you know, rubber chicken dinner. How do you do your fundraiser?
We have a blast. Our fundraiser is huge and well attended every year because it's outdoors with the horses from 12 to 3 in October, and the children actually demonstrate their skills. So we have about 8 to 9 children who actually demonstrate what they're learning in our program. You get to pet the horses and be with the horses, and again, to see the magnificent Frisians.
Right.
We have a yummy lunch. We always get really top caterers, and then we have silent auction and a craft market that the children make a lot of crafts that we sell.
Okay. Nope. Cool. And that's where, you know, that again takes a lot of effort. A lot of volunteers kind of make all that happen. How is it, you know, attracting volunteers? I mean, is it hard, easy?
Oh, no, it's been really easy. You know, we've been really blessed to have wonderful people find us. Okay. We have a mother and a daughter, Sierra and Jeanette from Genoa, who started a fundraiser for us in June. It's a black tie affair, so we can shake off our mud boots and put on some gowns and have a good old time in June. So, and they found us. Oh, wow. We have the 20 volunteers who are at the barn on a weekly basis. They found us too, because people love to be around children and they love to be around horses.
It's the win-win.
And it's a fun environment. You know, it's just a really fun, fun place to be.
Oftentimes the volunteers say that they get more out of it than they give.
Oh, wow. So. Cool. So give me some success stories. You know, Cindy, why don't you kind of
I was thinking of when you were speaking before about going home to the family situation and maybe they would never get out of it. And I was kind of clicking back in my mind over the years of all these kids that have grown up with us who have actually succeeded and have come back later and said how much the program meant to them. I mean, kids that were suicidal and just kind of at a wit's end have gone on to college and made a career for themselves. Others have left poor home situations and moved into different places and have really succeeded. And I can think of probably a dozen of those right now that of our older students. Some of the students that we have currently come back and mentor the other children.
Right.
So they keep their fingers in the pot all the time and are giving back, and then they get that whole sense of empowerment of giving back, too.
Right. You know, and that's, Jill and I's oldest daughter, Kaylee's, that's how we got introduced to the program. And, Kaylee, she lost her dad, when she was 4 years old, mm-hmm. And just, there's, we call it baggage, kids got to cope and just trying to work through things, and it really gave her I'm going to tear up a little bit. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Give me a moment. Discuss. Pineapple. But just, gives a kid an ability to kind of have an outlet and have freedom, to kind of find their words and find their way.
After her first 2 hours with the horse, she went skipping and singing and dancing back to the car, something she hadn't done for years.
Right.
And
so,
again,
yeah.
It's just her interaction and their secret conversation between her and her horse.
Right. Yeah, and so now she wants to go to vet school and be around full time. And yeah, thanks. Who's going to pay for vet school?
I know, right? Oh my goodness,
you are.
That's just true.
She
happily
would be great at that too.
It. So yes. Kind of find their own passion, and find that she's got a real way with animals, and so like I said, it's different situations. Everybody's trying to find their own way, and so it's a great resource for the community, and you guys are doing a great work out there. So yeah, hopefully you guys that are listening can weigh in, either or to your charity of choice. But this holiday season, as we look at all the blessings that we've received, maybe we can just reach out and kind of help somebody who's a little less fortunate than yourselves.
Well, and then I think people have to recognize that philanthropy is not just money, which is wonderful and necessary, but giving of time and energy and conversations, hugging somebody, smiling, sharing, all of that is so important in life. Some people say, I don't really have much to give. No, you have a hug to give. You have a smile to give. It's just give. It's just fun, and it's healthy for everybody.
Right. And I think at this time of the year, and when everything's so busy and frenetic, when people are running around trying to shop and doing everything, the horses teach the children and the parents and all of us as by example that you have to be in this moment and you have to be still. And that, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it makes a huge difference at this season.
Right.
Where you're feeling like you're right there and calm. And then you can do the other things.
Nope. Well said. Well said. So what's the future look for between horses and humans? What's the game plan moving forward?
Well, we'd like to expand our programs to include the families more.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to be able to have groups with the teenagers so that we can meet with them on a weekly basis. Cindy has always talked about taking our children and maybe doing community service. So the skills that they have learned with the horses to use it somewhere else in the community so we can give back in other ways. We're looking. We are part of the resource team in Douglas County for the school system.
So you're plugged in directly to the schools, so that way.
Private therapists. We work with the CASA program, DCFS, a lot of organizations.
And into the Tahoe schools, too.
Right. No, and that's to say you serve a very wide geography. So, guys, again, I thank you for and kind of applaud you for your passion for the kids and the horses and the families, making it better here in Northern Nevada. When we come back, what we're going to do is the number one thing that people don't think about when they're running a not-for-profit. You heard it here and only here. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, talking about Giving Tuesday. It happened last Tuesday. Hopefully you gave. If you didn't, go ahead and figure a cause worthy of giving to. In studio, Barbara Slade and Cindy Cowan from Between Horses and Humans. And we always leave our listeners with that big picture, that number one thing. And so, what's the big takeaway? What do you think, Barbara?
Well, I hope that people feel empowered to try to understand each other, to communicate, to just want to be more reasonable. Reasonable people can do reasonable things in our communities. I want people to recognize that we are all whole. You know, we can be loving ourselves, loving each other. It's okay. All is going to be well.
Indeed. Cindy, what do you think?
Well, I think through this program and through the world that one little person can do a lot, and that that cliche that of the starfish, where the guy was picking up the starfish, one little bit of difference. You don't know how far that's going to ripple out, and I just challenge everybody to make a difference in somebody's life.
Right. Well said. Yeah, and that's I guess my thought is. Decide to go big or go home. I like that. Every little bit helps, but if tax reform is currently written, happens, there's just not going to be as much economic benefit to people to give small amounts. So, I'm already telling people, hey, whatever you are going to give next year, give this year. You get a bigger bang for that buck. That's just true. So, instead of keep all the cash in the bank account and not make any money, just give it this year. So that way, if a lot of people aren't going to get to be able to itemize next year, so you're going to lose that tax benefit. You're saving 30 cents on the dollar by giving it this year versus next year, all that kind of stuff. But actually, and I think it'll change kind of the dynamics of a lot of not-for-profits, particularly charities such as yours that are widely supported. Got to be smart about how you go and get those bigger donations. And that's where, on the giving part of it is be passionate about something, if you're not necessarily charitably inclined or a big giver, just pick something that, whatever it is, there's a not-for-profit out there that you can support, and whether you support them with your wallet or you support them with your time, the reason that we're the greatest country ever known on this planet is because we're a bunch of givers, not a bunch of takers, and kind of sense a bit of a shift happening, and it's like, like I said, don't even have to give money, especially you don't get it deducted, but give your time, find something you're passionate about, get out with the horses and the kids and walk around, and I think that's just going to make us continue to be great. Of course, if you're out there and you're wondering, as a business owner, where your Tesla effect is, give me a call, 786-4900, or if you need to get Barbara's information, I can pass that along to you. Because we give these free one-hour consultations, and it's fascinating. We do them every week, and, I got some information in the other day, and I was just like, just fascinated. I was like, wow, look at they're completely getting jacked because they just don't know what the rules are on some of these things. And so, found that family about $8,000, and it was just they'll never become a client, but it's that's kind of how we get back. So 786-4900 for those free 1 hour consultations. Of course, I like to be liked. Check me out on Facebook, just like Mike Bosma. And, of course, those prior podcasts at kqh.com. Next week, more advisors, more business awesome. We call it Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.